it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and good morning, everybody. It's Mike Hunt here from 106.9 The Bone with your Milpitas Sports Update. The Trojans had a rough one this week as they fell to Santa Teresa 63-10. Trojan head coach Bo Nurr said he's confident in his team's ability to come back strong. Milpitas will host Los Altos tomorrow night at Bo Camper Stadium. And don't forget, tomorrow is Dollar Footlong Hot Dog Night. For those with a smaller appetite, we will have 6 inches for just 50 cents. Now let's send it back to my guys in Miami. 0-1 Bo and company man Harold.
I'm getting where I don't like that guy from your hometown, Bo. I used to kind of like him.
I don't mind. The 0-1. He did give me argue with the 0-1. I was 7-0 Bo last year. Yeah. Now I was 3-1 Bo, and now I'm down one. I'm already down one notch, and he's already.
Oh, man.
Already, you know.
All right.
That guy's an ass, though, you know?
Yeah, he is. He is an ass clown.
Hopefully, we get 500 Bo after this week.
If he gets anywhere near, if he gets even close to Fremont, he's gonna be in trouble.
Well, he's around your guys. Yeah, he's history.
No.
They may be a little older, but they're still feisty. There's no question.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Well, he's kind of old himself, a little, and not in very good shape. Let's put it that way.
No, he's not in great shape.
Yeah, he's not going to run a 40-yard dash in 7 seconds.
No. What do you expect this week?
I don't know, Joe. I you know what's funny? There was sitting down. You know me. I go down to the sideline. I sit down and kind of watch what's going on in the field and this and that. And you know, guys come by and talk. And everyone's going, "What do you think?" And I'm saying, you know what? I really don't know. I don't know. I've watched this team, you know, watched all the preseason games and all the practices and joint practices that we've seen. And I couldn't put my finger on this football team was going to be. And one of the main reasons I couldn't put my finger on it, we never saw that team that fully, you know, a full offensive line, which is very important because, you know, an offensive like most positions on the field, secondary, linebackers, defensive line, you got to work with those guys to know what the other guy's doing because you interact with them on every play. So we had an offensive line we never played, the right side had never played together with the left side, you know. And so you don't know what that's going to be. You had a bunch of pass rushers outside. None of them really worked together with the inside guys. So you don't know what that's going to be. And then a secondary that really was patched up going into the first game. And so, you know, again, and you know, when we were talking to Scott Zolak, he kind of mentioned it. You know, these guys, they don't play a lot in the preseason.
Right. Everybody was healthy, but rusty.
So you have Tua and you had Waddle not playing. You had the, you know.
Tyreek was out most of camp.
You had that ghost of a tight end that we haven't seen and may never see. That you're counting on, and so, you know, what do you expect? So I that's the reason I said I don't know. I mean, you know, these coaches need to figure out somehow that you know the season starts on week one. It's not an extension of the preseason where you get to see guys and play a full game. To me, I'd like to see at some point where you get these teams that say, hey, look, we're going to play our starting 22. 3 quarters in one of these games. So at least they've done it together. But I don't think that's ever going to happen again.
No.
But I think it really for the Dolphins, it was blatant that, first of all, they couldn't protect Tua. They played against a pretty good defensive front. Lou Anarumo called a hell of a game.
Sweet Lou had
their number on that thing. And you know, you're getting guys coming, free rushers coming off the side when a guy doesn't turn out where he should have turned out and picked him up. Simple thing to do.
How that happens.
And you know, that happens.
How's
because
it happen?
That happens because you never set foot on the field during the preseason and stuff like that. And then you get a quarterback that his whole game plan, his whole being is predicated on timing. And once you pull down that ball, we've seen it over and over. Once you pull down that ball, once Tua pulls that thing down, anything can happen.
I agree.
And for the most part, it's not going to be good, right? Best thing is maybe he throws the ball on the ground and lives to play another day. Other than that, it's usually bad.
Doesn't escape well.
No.
Obviously, can't get outside the pocket. Doesn't have the athletic ability of a lot of the other guys. So you're right. He is all about
timing. And look, I saw him during the game kind of look at his different, you know, look at one guy, look at his progressions. And he just found nobody to throw the ball to at times. And although, but plus he was like in the Redwood Forest in Northern California, you know, because people were all around him and towering over him to throw the ball. So.
And he got hit. I thought once he got hit a little bit, was like, he took some big punches.
The hit he took in the back was something he's not going to,
that'll take one when you go home and play cards and hang out and play video games with your wife. That one will be a little sore for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this. This is a fun one.
You taking a shot? A little shot.
Yeah, okay. I don't hear after Tua enough. I hear too much we.
Yeah.
I want to hear I.
Yeah.
You're the friggin' franchise quarterback making franchise quarterback money.
Yeah.
Say I. Anyway.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. And look, I thought Mike McDaniel, I thought Mike kind of put it on himself. He also talked about the leaders. And so, you know, it's a funny dynamic on this team. Like you talk about Tua. And then Mike, and you know, Mike's philosophizing and it's, you know, you kind of figure out where that little nugget is that he's talking about. And so, you know, I mean, look, he called a couple guys out after the game.
Yeah. But they were guys that can take it.
Yes.
Zach Seeler.
Yes. And the other thing he did was, well, you know, I want to talk to the captains. I want to talk to the leaders on the team. Well, they didn't play very well at all either. So what are you going to talk to them about? You know, at some point, you got to be the coach. And I don't need to talk to my leaders to see when I saw a piece of crap on the field. I don't need you to tell me why.
Yeah.
I know why. And it's going to come from me, not distributed to, you know, through the locker room.
Right.
It's and so, you know, I think if you listen to anything nationally this week, boy, the vitriol that's come down on him and Chris Greer has been stifling. I mean, my gosh.
So starting with the roster is not very good, which, by the way, we are thin at offensive line and cornerback again.
And how many guys nationally did – and I'm not saying these nationally – look, these guys, they're in L.A., they're in New York, they're in Chicago, they're wherever they're at, they're not here. So they're seeing this from a distance, and they're not always right. But, you know, we're thinking, oh, Jesus, roster's looking pretty good. We got these guys, got a good front seven. We got this and that. And you're saying as well, I knew they really didn't have a very good roster, right, coming out, you know. Now, what do? You go out and you kick somebody's ass this week and say, you know what, blow it out your ass because we are that good. Now, we'll see if that happens.
Well, how much can you turn around from week one to week two and – you know, again, New England's like a lot of teams. They have really good areas of the team, and they have some problems on their team, too, and they got some guys banged up.
But, Joe, you got no time. You got no time. You know, to tell you what, there's no time. You already lost one that you figured was in your back pocket. Now you got New England. Now you got Buffalo. Now you got Jets. You're playing three AFC East teams in a row. If you lose all those three games, if you go 4-0 and 4, lose these three. Look, you know, it'd be a miracle if you're going to win in Buffalo. Everyone kind of realizes that, right? But if you lose to the New England and the Jets, you have no chance of winning the AFC East. The AFC East is gone at that point. Now you're just scratching.
If that happens, Bo.
Now you're just scratching and clawing for a wild card.
Bo, you go 0-4. There might be other things
wild card?
Going on.
Well, I did say wild card.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to win the AFC East if they lose three.
If they go 0-4, I don't think they can make the wild card.
No, well, I don't either. I don't either. But I'm giving them a sniff there.
I'd start worrying more about getting the first pick than getting the getting a wild card spot. If I was 0-4,
right now you're worried about getting the first pick.
I mean, I am, but yeah, I mean,
no. But he started right after the game.
I know.
Hey, yeah. but I will tell you, they go 0-4, and it's got a bad smell to it. The GM and head coach, all bets are off.
Bo, you were on the field like they just did.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not seem to respond to the coach anymore. They seem like a lifeless team that just, didn't let the stuff in the offseason bother them. You would have thought, you just said, like, they're going to come out, like, they want to kick someone's ass. Like, why wasn't that their mentality in the opener?
That's what I thought it was going to be. I can't answer that question.
I thought they were going to say, we've had enough.
I don't think Mike coaches that way. I think Mike Vrabel coaches that way, whether he's going to be successful or not. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have, like Tony Sperano came in. He was a tough guy, and it didn't help him to, he was there for a while, but it didn't help
you
him.
You know, when you play like the promised land, everybody's bringing up
everything about
Mike McDaniel.
Everything.
The nice guy.
Yeah.
The stuff and people, you know what everybody says, the way he dresses and talks to guys and the captain this and the captain's that.
But again, look, we saw the same thing last year, Joe, where he basically came out and said, hey, look, I'm the coach, but the players run the team, right? Wasn't that his message?
His teammates.
But my teammates, I'm
– Don Shula said that one time. No, he didn't.
I don't know if I've heard many coach, but you know what I'm saying? His belief is that if you treat the players with respect, and I think everyone should be treated with respect, but he goes about it a different way, that they'll in turn, feel obligated to you to do their best. But there's guys out there that say, hey, you give me an inch, I'm going to take another 4 or 5 inches, and then it becomes a mile, right?
Yes, and he's got some of those guys.
Look, I don't – every team has some of those guys on them.
Yes.
It's just how you corral them, right?
You hope they've got the right guys around them to get through it and stuff. So let me ask you the other thing that we have going on right now. When you don't need distractions, it happens right after everything. That night we come out, we find out that Tyreek Hill has got – listen, man, the divorce thing, I've been through it. It wasn't public like his stuff, but now with the things he's being accused of, now there's an NFL investigation.
It's a distraction. It's another distraction.
So the coach has to answer that. He didn't do anything, but he's got to answer because he's a head coach.
Right, exactly. And so there you go. There's time taking away from what the task at hand is to do something else, which is a distraction. And in the coaching, look, in everyday life for everybody that's just kind of doing their jobs and stuff, a distraction is not a big thing. For a coach, a distraction of 20 minutes sets off their schedule because these guys are here. I want to be dead set on that. And so now I got to pull away from something that I need to do to handle this or to answer this question or to do this or to do that or get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning where you've got something that, which happened earlier with the coach.
Yeah.
So this team has been kind of like a mishmash. And then you got a tight end that that you're expected to be on opening day. Where is he at? All the crapola that kind of lingers around, it piles up.
I look at the depth chart again.
I was going to say bad words.
I know we don't say. If you're going to say bad words, you cannot be on the. I'm not going to tolerate
I get that.
Hey, depth chart.
Yeah.
Waller's still number one. I'm like, number one? Still the number one tight end here. I know. We'll make sure he gets respect all the way out the door here.
Well, he wasn't ruled out officially, was he?
No, but
they said he could be out for the season, but he might not be also.
No, he said it was the first time I've ever heard it. He could play this week, but he could also be cut.
Yeah.
It's kind of a wide.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, released. I don't
see.
Maybe he plays.
So let me ask you this then. Now, Hollywood. So he plays. What do you think he's going to be? How do you think he's going to be like? What do you think he's going to be like?
I think he'll be
terrible. Guy hasn't done anything.
I haven't seen him from the beginning.
I haven't seen him run a route. And so he's just going to come in and he's going to be Russ Francis or Dave Casper or something like that? Well, I mean, well,
I think this is another disaster signing that they
own. You know who those guys are, Hollywood?
I mean, this is – no, I don't have no idea.
At least he was honest about that. Dave Casper, who the hell is that? So it does bring up the whole thing because I'm the same way. Bo, you can't go from 0 to 60 from standing on the side for 2 years, basically whatever he's been doing for 2 years.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything in camp, and now we're going to throw him in a game for 20 plays?
Yeah.
That'll be – how many games will he make it?
Yeah. And so look at so you go in that game with Julian Hill and Tanner Connor as your tight ends, and now Mike has
probably
been a
going into this
and,
game
and
the
now,
same
now
way.
Mike has been a guy over the years that has liked to bring in three tights at times. So now you don't have
I thought they were going to go with an extra offensive lineman. Well, I was wrong.
I thought they may stick Ingold out there as a third tight end in a desperation situation, but. Obviously, I didn't get to it, but so even there, you don't have a full roster of guys. You should have three tight ends.
Hey, you think you're thin? We'll come back and talk about this. The cornerback position.
Ooh,
you talk about thin right now.
Well,
unless you're going to start playing like safeties across the board here pretty soon. All right.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.